When we first came to know the Lord, we used to have testimony meetings here at the chapel. And Gus was very anxious. He said, "Al, Bob, I want you to give your testimony." What's a testimony? "Well, tell how the Lord saved your souls." Oh. So it was a Sunday night. We're standing back there. And Gus gets up. He said, "I'm very happy to tell you about two brothers who've come to know the Lord Jesus. And they want to give you their testimony." "All right, Al, you're the older one. Come on up. Give your testimony." So Al walks up. "I'm saved." Sat down. "Bob, would you like to give your testimony now?" That was our first public address to the assembly. I think they want a little bit more than that. Well, I'm glad to see Al here. And that's not working. Oh, it is. Fine. Okay. Now, this story that we're going to be talking about, some of you know it very well. But we may have visitors here today who've never heard this story. It's a wonderful story, a historical record that Luke gives us about Jesus' ministry. Now, there's some very important little details in this story we don't talk about very often. Let's go to verse 1. "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus." And it describes this man, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was. I'm going to pause there. I don't know what the circumstances are in your life, what you do, what you think, what your belief is, but you're here this morning. Maybe at the invitation of a friend, maybe at a partner, but you're here. Now that's important. The fact that you're here for whatever the reason, you're looking for something. Maybe not somebody, but something. Think about your life. Maybe there was an emptiness. I don't know. Now, this man seems to be pretty well off. He's rich. He's a tax collector. And there was a community of tax collectors. And please don't do anything to embarrass us, could be the thought as well. This is a society of tax collectors, and they weren't all honest. They dealt with a lot of money. This man's rich. How he got his riches, we'll see a little bit about that. But these are the circumstances. Now, there are some things that play into this man's life so that he could see Jesus. Very interesting things. First of all, there's a tree, and there's a crowd, and there is a stature. How tall was he? Now, you might not think about physical things in your life, your pathway, your journey. But sometimes how we look bothers us. Sometimes the company we keep bothers us. But I don't think we think of too many natural facts in life that can contribute to your understanding of salvation. Good for this man. He sought to see who Jesus was. Now, I want you to think about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. A great deal of that crucifixion has to do with seeing. The Son of Man had to be lifted up so you could see what he did. He died on a cross. You've got to see that. And when you see that clearly, then you must respond to what that person who died on the cross did. Because he died for our sins. So here you've got this short man, and Al would identify with that very well. Al is 5'2". Maybe he's lost an inch. 5'1". I don't know. 5'3". Gained an inch. Here's a little man, a rich little man. He gets into a crowd. He cannot see over the crowd. He knows that Jesus is in the area. That's why he came to that place. I don't know what your family background is, what your ethnic start is in life, where you are. But it's possible that people themselves are preventing you from getting to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally. Now, the crowd did not do this intentionally. It's just that the man was short. Maybe you've got a physical handicap. Maybe something's bothering your soul. You just don't feel that people appreciate you. People get in your way. Well, this man had enough common sense to figure out how he could get to see Jesus in spite of the crowd and in spite of his height. And this is where nature comes into the situation. It's unbelievable. Here's a rich tax collector who wants to see Jesus. He can't because of the crowd and his height. Verse 4. He gets an idea. Ideas are important. When we were growing up in Milwaukee, our family didn't really practice any religion. We prayed at meals, the same prayer all the time. But we had no understanding of God's salvation. I was not a very husky boy. I was thin. I felt insufficient. I had some problems, physical problems in my life. So I wasn't out and out going. And when I heard that they were offering a camp, a week at camp for $7 through the influence of Gus Quint, I was ecstatic. I wanted to go. But I didn't have $7. Now, Al worked. And, you know, Al and I, it's an interesting little relationship we had. It was the kind of relationship, I can do this, but you can't. I'm going to camp. You're not going. Circumstances. Our sister was going with a guy. He heard about my predicament. Remember, my mother's an alcoholic. He gives my mother $7 so that I could go to camp. And when it was time to go to camp, we didn't have any suitcases, we were too poor. There were two boxes tied up. And Al's, how come there's two boxes? I didn't sleep, I cried all night. I wanted to go, I didn't want Al to have one-upmanship on me. And my mother, who always spent money on booze, presented the $7. See how God works? That $7 in my life, helped me to go to camp. At camp, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Now you think about your life. You're here today. Why are you here? What's happened? Think about yourself. This man, very dignified, remember, well, I don't want to do anything to upset anybody. He didn't care. He ran to that tree and climbed up a rich tax collector, let his guard down, and climbed up into a tree. Now, sometimes in your life, in your thinking, in order for you to get a correct understanding of God's salvation, you may have to do something that you don't usually do. Our dad didn't want us to be saved. He told us that. Don't go to that camp. I don't want to hear about saved. Forget about that. But when the first thing I said to my dad after I came back from camp, Daddy, I'm saved. Now, you've heard me say that expression several times. Now, you may not be familiar with that. But our Lord Jesus Christ realized that we're all sinners. And we all need a Savior. And God the Father sent the Son into the world that whosoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Safe to enter into God's life. Saved from the penalty and punishment of sin. We don't like the word saved today. There's not too much preaching. When we were in French Quebec working, a man came from France. He said, we never use the word saved anymore. It's too bad. It's low language. Low language. It's scripture. So you say, well, wait a minute now. What's he talking about? To be saved means to find Christ, the Savior, who died on the cross for your sins. So this man has the right idea, does the right thing, climbs up into a tree. Now, not only will he be able to see Jesus, but he will be seen by Jesus. And also others in his profession. And it's probably embarrassing for them to think that a fellow tax collector would do such an idiotic and stupid thing. But the road that leads to Christ isn't always a road that your friends want you to take. I was dealing with a student at the University of Wisconsin. He's a member of a fraternity. And we had some very serious talks about salvation. And we got to the point where I said, listen, you need now to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. He said, wait a minute. I've got fraternity brothers there who will laugh me, make sick fun of me. They'll humiliate me. I know what you're saying, but I can't do it because of what they will think. Our dad said, don't get wrapped up in being saved, but the need for salvation becomes so vital to you because it realizes it's your life, it's your eternity, it's your future. That you're convicted of your sins, and when you hear about the Savior, you turn to him and you trust in his finished work at the cross. You know, this is a gospel of belief. is John's gospel. There's the one of the gospels is a gospel of belief. Believing. So this man goes up into the tree. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. You came here today. Maybe you knew you'd hear a message about Jesus. Here at this chapel, we proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins. So there are some things you have to think through. Am I a sinner? Am I the one who Christ died for? Yes. We'll get to that a little later. Keep that in mind. Yes. Jesus wants to get involved in your life. He wants to be part of your eternity. He wants you to be part of his life. He has come that you might have life, and you might have life abundantly. All right, you woke up this morning, and you said, what am I going to do today? Okay, I'm going to do this and this today. And I'm invited. Oh, okay, we'll go to the Owatosa Chapel. We'll go there today. That's fine. We'll sit and listen to the Word of God. And you not quite sure what to expect, what was going to happen, how things would turn out, but here you are. Here's Zacchaeus up in a tree. I don't know what it took, what the hook was, but that tree played in a very vital part in his life. So did the crowd, I said, so did his size. Now, put yourself in a position in life where God will see you. Huh? Take that posture in life. I was only 12 years old. It was 11 o'clock at night. The camp counselor came. And I said, I'd like to be saved. He said, you know what that means? Do you believe you're a sinner? Yes. I believe I'm a sinner. Then all you need to do is trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And you have to put it into words. I hope so. No, none of that. Let God see your heart. That's what he wants. Open your heart. Open your life. Tell him you're a sinner. Tell him you're lost. He'll listen. And then, by his grace, point you to the crucified Savior. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, these are precious words. No one told Jesus what his name was. Jesus was busy with the crowds. He was busy with his ministry. Here's Zacchaeus. Luke tells us this man's name is Zacchaeus. I don't think Jesus stopped and said, who's the fellow up in the tree? His name is Zacchaeus. I don't think so. God knows each one of us. He knows our history. He knows our lives. He knows our names. And he loves us. So Jesus comes to the tree. And now everything's working together. The crowd's all around. The little guy's up in the tree. Jesus is standing there. Zacchaeus, that must have blown his mind. What? He knows me. It's like Nathaniel. Jesus knew Nathaniel before Nathaniel realized who Jesus was. I want you to come down from that place. Come on down. Now, I know it's just an expression. This is the hard part for many people. We have relatives who are atheists. It was a hard thing for my brother Art to do. If you're going to trust in Jesus Christ, you've got to come down. You've got to come down. No, I'll make it myself. No, I'm sorry. You'll not make it yourself. Well, if I do, if I'm a good citizen and, you know, I won't hurt anybody's feelings and I think of the poor. No, I'm sorry. You've got to come down. Well, I've read these books and there are things that they say in the science. You've got to come down. And you've got to become very childlike. Another passage of scripture, it says, Lord, I'm glad you didn't reveal this to the wise and the prudent, but to babes. You've got to become like a child. And what is it? It is to be like a child. Trusting. Trusting. Believing. You have that choice. You have that ability to trust in the Lord Jesus because he's given you that faith. He's enlightened every man who's ever come into the world. And that enlightenment included faith to believe. Zacchaeus, come on down. For today, I must stay at your house. When we come down, when we realize that we are hopelessly lost, without hope, without God, then he'll open his arms for you to come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You may have not heard that way ever before. God is offering to us everlasting life. He's offering to us fellowship with himself. He's offering to us grace, mercy, hope, peace, forgiveness, and joy. Now, we don't say much about verse 6, but I think a transformation has taken place. When Jesus said exactly these words to this particular man, Zacchaeus, his whole life changed. Jesus was accepting him in his sinful condition, and he wanted him to know that by going to his home where he resided, where I'm sure not very many people went because of what he did as a tax collector and because of his riches, because of his indifference. Today, I must stay at your house. Today is the day of salvation. So if you've come here today, unexpected to what's he talking about? I have to make a decision to trust in Jesus Christ today? Yes. But what do I have to, you have to think of yourself maybe a little differently. You've sinned against God. You're helpless. You need a Savior. That Savior died for your sins. That Savior's name is Jesus Christ, the Lord. Now, He looks into your heart. See, we believe at this chapel that we preach the Word of God, but God is present here with us. And God honors His Word, and He works with the Holy Spirit in our lives and stirs up our hearts and our conscience that we might have an awareness of ourselves as sinful individuals who are going to be lost forever in a dark eternity. What? Whew. That's a lot to take in. But God has to deal with your heart. I'd like to just say, well, here's just follow these. No, don't follow any rules. Don't follow what I tell you to say. You say it. Realizing that you need a Savior. Realizing that you are lost. Realizing that you are without hope. So verse 6. I want you to think there are many, many believers here today. I want you to think back that moment in your life when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. I burst into tears as a 12-year-old boy. I had never prayed to the Lord Jesus, and I remember my prayer to this day, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, save me. That's all I said. But I experienced what this man experienced. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Now, we don't talk much about emotions. But this feeling of joy that comes into the life of someone who confesses Jesus Christ as Savior is real. I experienced it. Maybe we've all experienced it. We don't want to talk about it too much. Don't want to make too much out of emotions. Maybe you don't have any emotion. That's all right. But usually there's a sense of peace. You're released from a bondage of sin you didn't even know you were carrying, that load of sin. But I got up on my bed and I looked at John Clift and I said, I'm so happy. I had tears before the Lord because of my sinfulness, and now I had tears of joy. And I slept so peacefully that night because I trusted the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior. And you know, we want you to do that today. We want you to experience that joy. We want you to have life everlasting. That's the good news of the gospel. This life with God changes you, changes your perspective, changes your life. And sometimes, as in the case of my dear brother, it causes miracles to happen in your life. But, like my father, Bobby, I don't want you to talk about that. You can never use the word saved in this house again. Get to your room. Of course, later on, my father came to know the Lord. But I remember, I went to my room. The first thing that came to my mind was, but I can talk about Jesus outside. I can go outside. He said, only in the house. And that week, the war with Japan was on. And that week, I was playing with my friend Jimmy. And we were in the foxhole fighting the Japanese. Sorry if the Japanese here, the person's here. No, I'm just talking about what happened in those days. And I turned to Jimmy, and I said, Jimmy, would you like to be saved? What are you talking about? And all I knew was John 3:16. That's all I knew. And I remember when he put my name in the verse, and I said, listen to me. And I quoted the verse to Jimmy. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe that? I don't know what you're talking about. Well, let me go slower. So I put his name in the verse. He said, really? I can be saved right here in this foxhole? Yes. I'll pray first, and then you pray. What do you mean pray? Tell the Jesus you want him to be your Savior. Oh, okay. So I prayed, because that's what John Cliff did. He prayed, I pray. Your turn. I believe you died for my sins. Save me. It's as simple as that, and yet very profound. So this man accepts Jesus joyfully. But his friends, listen. But when they saw it, they all complained. When they saw it, I think the other tax collectors, not all the crowd, the other tax, what is going on here? This is ridiculous. He has gone to, what's our friend doing? And then others said, wait a minute. What's Jesus doing? What is Jesus doing with that tax collector who's cheated us out of money? What is this going on here? He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. I've been a believer now for a long time. And Jesus has always been a guest in my life. Sure, I'm a sinner, but I'm a sinner saved by God's grace. We heard a song, it's not always easy. Al passed through some pretty difficult time, as has his daughters and his wife. These were moments, the valley of the dead. But the Lord was with them. The Lord preserved them. The Lord healed. The Lord raised him up. This wonderful Lord Jesus is always a guest of a sinner. He wants you to trust in him. He wants you to come to him. He wants you in your lost condition to confess Jesus Christ as Lord, as God, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead for your sinfulness, and you will be saved. And once you're saved, and all those here who have trusted the Lord Jesus will testify to this fact. Things happen to you. Your life, your perspective, the meaning of existence changes radically because now God is a guest in your life. Why don't you trust the Lord Jesus today? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, wonderful things can happen here today. We've heard of the miraculous bringing back to life of our dear brother Al. But you can bring someone out of darkness, out of sin, out of the death that is caused by sin, into the light of the gospel of Christ. And we pray, Father, that if there is someone here today who has not trusted in the Lord Jesus because of this story of Zacchaeus, may they open their hearts to you. We seek your blessing. We ask that you will work in a mighty way according to your purposes. And we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. You have a closing hymn.